This is FBG Jen.
And FBG Kristen.
And I'm FBG Margo, host and producer. You're listening to the podcast that will help you keep a lid on the junk in the trunk and inspire you to live a happy and confident life.
Each episode, we chat with motivational experts and celebs and share our own candid adventures in being healthy.
If you're looking for a podcast that's equal parts hilarious and enlightening, well then welcome to the Fit Bottomed Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. This is FBG Margo, and on the line today we have Jen.
Hey guys.
And we have Kristen.
Hello.
Hello. So we have Jared Grossman on the show today. Smart guy. He's from Muscle Prodigy. Kristen and I interviewed him today. He has a fantastic Long Island accent. I'm calling it Long Island. I hope that's where he's from. But he's a great interview. Yes. Super smart. And Kristen, so you brought up with in the interview that there was an article we had on one of our sites about building muscle and the response we got from our readers.
Yeah. Just a couple of months ago, had an article on fit-bottomed girls called Getting Swole, What Makes Muscles Grow. And, you know, I think we put it out there because it's good information, it's really helpful, and then the response was incredible because, you know, I think that there's a perception out there that women just want to get lean or get tiny or, you know, be toned. But I feel like that is beginning to shift. And, you know, many of us, men and women, and, you know, however you classify yourself, like, we want to be strong. So there is like this big interest in seeing how to make your muscles actually grow and like get bigger, get stronger, get tougher. So yeah, so this article had done really well. And so when we had a chance to talk to Jared and we knew that that was really a big focus of what he does, I was like, yes, that sounds like a really good fit for us. And we'll make sure that we've got this article in the show notes. So if you go to Fit Bottom Girls and check it out, you'll be able to find it, no problem.
Yeah, and the writer Allison, there's science in it. Like,
There's
a lot of science and a lot of studies that have been done on like how to build muscle and stuff. And it's really cool what your body can do. And I think that article breaks it down in a really like relatable, easy to understand, but like super cool sciencey way.
Yeah, it's like science in plain English well, that's actually one of her subheads. But yeah, it's like, you will understand it even if you didn't do well in science. Ask me how I know.
So Jared gives some really great advice on how to build muscle and also with quick workouts. He's not a fan of, you know, people going to the gym for an hour and a half, 2 hours at a time. It's not necessary. And most of us don't have the time for that. So I wanted to ask you guys, what are your favorite muscle building exercises?
Oh man, I love me some muscle building exercises. And actually, I kind of sort of hate to like stand there and do anything where that's static, like a bicep curl or like a chest press. They build muscle, they're great. I find it boring as you know what. So I like stuff that's always like mixed into a circuit or like as many rounds as you can in a set amount of time or something, just so I keep moving and I'm getting a cardio element in addition to the strength building element. That's what keeps my attention and keeps me kind of pushing harder to do more reps and go faster and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I really do like some Olympic lifting stuff, but I also just really love body weight stuff. If you do push-ups, you know, start on your knees for as long as you can, then try a few on your toes and you keep progressing and keep working on them, you can do push-ups on your toes. And if you do, gosh, there's this work I did the other day. It was so great. It was like, do a plank. It was plank for 3 minutes with a push-up every 10 seconds.
Wow.
And after that, you did which is like really, really hard to do. And then you rest 60 seconds, do the same thing for 2 minutes, rest 60 seconds, do the same things for a minute. I mean, that's like, what, a five, six, 7 minute workout. It's not a very long workout, but just for upper body and core, but it is insanely incredible. It takes no equipment and you will build muscle in your core and in your arms like, whoa. And you can do a similar type format with squats where actually you would hold like a isometric hold. So you just get down in a squat and hold and then do a squat every 10 seconds for the 3 minutes, press 60, go through the whole line. Amazing stuff. And another favorite one of mine is just lunges. Mm-hmm. I think lunges are so fabulous for the leg. And again, you don't need any weight, but if you want to make it more challenging, you know, you can add in a jump, you can do a plyometric lunge, or you can pick up some heavy weights. and do lunges. So those are kind of really, and burpees. I guess I also love burpees, but that's kind of like a push up with a jump. So body weight's kind of my jam. I love it.
What about you,
Kristen?
Well, so because I have kind of crappy knees, there's a lot of like single leg stuff and a lot of strength work that I do with items that kind of destabilize you, like a wobble board or a Bosu, that I really like. So doing a single leg squat, and whether that's assisted or not, so, you know, you can have like, you know, have your hand on a bar next to you, or, you know, use something for balance if needed. And to be honest, I can't go down terribly far because it really hurts my knees, but standing on top of a Bosu and bringing myself down on into a single leg squat, it works so many muscles so hard, and I don't have to do that many of them before I'm totally too fatigued. So I do a lot of those. I do single leg press just on the machine, which, I mean, yeah, it's boring, but my God, does it work. And when you're on the press machine, it makes it, for me at least, it makes it much easier for me to focus on really activating the proper muscles. Whereas like when I'm doing the stabilizing thing, I'm activating a whole bunch of stuff so that I don't fall off. But when I'm on the machine, I can be like, okay, no, I know that I should be feeling this in my glute and I shouldn't be activating my quad for this. And I can, it makes it a little bit more, a little more mindful. And, you know, for me, the big bonus of that is that when I'm doing that stuff regularly and I'm working really hard at it, I have significantly less knee pain in addition to having killer legs and being really strong. So there's a lot of motivation for me to actually get that stuff done. But yeah, I would, like, if there's anybody out there who's not doing anything on single leg, even if like single leg calf raises, do 3 sets of 20 of those on a step or on something that gives you a little bit of wobble. And I mean, if you're not feeling that, then tell me your secrets. Man. So I'm really digging all of that stuff right now.
That's very cool. So I'm really digging using kettlebells. I just sort of discovered them just a couple of years ago. I don't know why they weren't a part of my life before, but I love them. But I have this boot camp I teach on Tuesday mornings. And at my gym, we have a big basketball court, you know, the regulation size, and we have two smaller ones. And I use the smaller one. And we basically hold kettlebell in each hand and you walk and you swing the kettlebell. It's called a suitcase swing. And they do it up and down the court. And that's just working so many muscle groups. You do that a couple of times a week. Your shoulders will look so hot, but you're also working your abs. You're working your middle back. I mean, it's really, I love it. They all know this. My students, if they're listening right now, they're like, oh God, the damn suitcase swings. But they're awesome. They're just so awesome. And then one thing I also love to do, and I have them do, and I do it with them, it's, I call them side burpees, where you're facing, you're basically, you do burpee and then you come up, you jump up and then you jump to the side laterally and then you do another burpee and you do that down the court, and then you get to the end of the court, you bear crawl back. And that's all kinds of you're using your quads, you're using your pecs, your biceps and everything. And I love that one too. That's just using so much of your core there. So those are like my side burpees into the bear crawls are just like, I love them. They'll exhaust you, you know, going up and down a court, but they are so good for you and you'll feel so great when you're done. So that's,
that sounds terribly awesome.
It is awesome. I love doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very functional.
Yes. I'm super about the functional. So what are your favorite snacks for before or after a strength-based workout?
Oh man. Okay. So before, I'm actually kind of the worst. I almost always have before a strength workout, I have like half a protein bar almost always. And then after, I have the other half of the protein bar just because it's something that I always have on hand. Like it's simple, it's quick. But if I have a little bit more time, or if I, because I do a lot of workouts in the morning, usually pretty early in the morning, either 5:30 or 6. So a lot of times I will require second breakfast. Mm-hmm. Almost always I require second breakfast. So usually second breakfast, I do something that's a little bit more hearty. Because I mean, honestly, a protein bar is not very hearty, let's be honest. Fills you up. It does the job. But you're like, I need something warm now. So later I will do, I just had this, like a chicken sausage.
Ooh.
With like half a grapefruit. Or I'll do nitrate-free deli turkey slices with avocado. Basically something that's just like protein and fat and maybe just like a little bit of carb is kind of my jam. Keeps me full, keeps me energized, and seems to help me put on muscle, like they say.
That's awesome. What about you, Kristen?
Well, before a workout, probably my number one go-to is a banana, maybe with some nut butter. depending on how hungry I'm feeling. Because if I'm doing like, you know, a 5:30 or 6 workout, I just have a hard time eating very much. And if I, let's be clear, like if I'm having a banana, it means that I'm having like 1/2 to 3/4 of a banana, because if you guys have ever seen any pictures of my dog, Rudy, like no being on earth has ever loved a banana the way this dog loves bananas. And aww, if you can say, like, you can't say no to her. You can't. She hears you breaking it off the bunch and she comes running and looks at you with those big brown eyes and you have to share your banana. So yes, bananas. And afterwards, usually if I'm being really good, a protein shake. Like I've got a couple of different plant-based protein powders and I'll mix that up either with, usually with some cashew milk, or if I don't have that available, water or a little bit of juice or whatever is available. I'm not super picky. That's one of those where it's like, I'm not having this for the experience of eating it and enjoying it. I'm having it because I know that it's going to help me recover and put on some good muscle. Yeah. And then if I'm doing the second breakfast thing, like I really love some eggs over like some sauteed kale or spinach or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's good. That sounds good.
And if I'm like hungrier than that, then having a piece or two of toast. I really like the Ezekiel toast. And yeah, I'm not gluten-free like all the time, but I really like that. I feel like it does good things for me. So that's my pick. With avocado on it, if I'm feeling real feisty, like I can eat a lot of food. So
so can I.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Margo?
So, Kristen, it's crazy. I'm the same way. I love a banana before I go work out. It's just like the perfect fruit for me. My cats don't like bananas, but if I'm not having a banana, I'll have some turkey slices. And my little sweet Sarah, my cat, she, as soon as she hears that package, she's just like right at my leg. You know, she just likes to love the little turkey slices. So I love to give that to her. So it's one of those. And then afterwards, especially if I'm feeling hungry, I love me some scrambled eggs with some kale, you know, and I'll throw in maybe mushrooms and onions. And oh my God, it's like the best thing in the world with like a nice big cup of coffee. There's like, what's better than that?
Yep.
Nothing.
Nothing. Right.
Hot sauce. With hot sauce, maybe. I put hot sauce on it.
I'm not a hot sauce girl.
Oh, Cholula.
No, not for me. So I guess we should go right into our interview today with Jared. What do you guys say?
Yeah, because we need to go eat. I'm hungry.
I know, me too. It's our last taping of the day. Okay, here we go. Jared Grossman. Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. This is FBG Margot. On the line today, we have FBG Kristen, and we are interviewing Jared Grossman from Muscle Prodigy. After amassing over 30 million views on YouTube by producing a video every day for a year, Jared has quickly become a sought-after life coach and business consultant. His advice is drawn from his early childhood woes and muscular transformation. As an eighth grader, Jarrett went from being only 90 pounds and won only one wrestling match and being constantly picked on and bullied to gradually becoming one of the best wrestlers in New York. And eventually he became a three-time All-American at Bryant University. After pursuing a career in law and investment banking, Jarrett realized his passion lied elsewhere. So while finishing up his JD degree, Jarrett started up a health and fitness brand with his childhood friend. MuscleProdigy.com reaches 300,000 unique visitors per month, has over 1 million social media followers, and topped the charts with several iTunes albums. He is here today to talk about building muscle, burning fat, and maximizing your workouts. Welcome to the show, Jarrett.
Thank you so much for having me on here. Really appreciate it, guys. It's an honor.
Thank you. So this is Margo, and on the line we have Kristen, and I'm going to ask you the first question. So I mentioned in your bio you went from the 90-pound weakling to an all-star wrestler by transforming your body. So can you tell us what helped you change your mindset and get you into such great fighting shape?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got picked on, bullied. I got beat up by a kid younger than me, actually, and it's just pain, ultimately, that gets you to transform something. So I recognized the deficiency in myself, and that was that I was weak, that I couldn't defend myself, ultimately. So I took up wrestling. My childhood friend, Richie Allen, he was working out for a couple of years, and I became his lifting partner, his workout partner, and just took a liking to it. Wanted to learn as much as I could about training and nutrition and how the body responds. And I actually used myself as sort of like a little guinea pig in a way to do trial and error and see if this diet worked and this workout worked. And eventually I think that you got to sort of play somebody else's music before you can play your own. So I was just taking routines from other people, essentially fitness models and bodybuilders and real legends who I looked up to in a way, and seeing what worked on my body, and something that was all I wanted to be all natural. So something that would work without enhancing, without drugs and all that stuff. And I learned a lot of information there, and then eventually was able to craft a routine that I could stick to for the rest of my life in a way, and give that information to other people. I wanted to transform other people's lives, and I knew that I sort of had a strategy to be able to do it after my decade plus of trial and error of doing it. And you could give shortcuts to people, and success leaves clues ultimately. So been on that mission ever since.
It's got to be really helpful when you're working with, you know, with real newbies to be able to kind of look back on that experience and remember what it was like for you going, you know, making such a transformation and learning so much new stuff over the course of a long time. So I'm wondering, kind of with that in mind, maybe you remember some of yours, but what are some of the most common misconceptions you see when people come to you saying, I want to get fit? Or are there any like really common mistakes that people make or have been making when they come to you?
Absolutely. So I think that there's a lot of myths in terms of like the actual like strategy. So for instance, like calories in, calories out, I think is a big myth.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know?
Sorry. That's,
yeah, preach.
Preaching to the right choir here. Yes, love it.
Absolutely. Yeah, so the types of foods are way more important. You know, the actual macronutrient profile, the glycemic index, very important stuff. And I think, you know, like in the female community, if they lift weights, for instance, they feel like they should stay away from it because they're going to get bulky. But the reality is there's hormones at play, and specifically, there's not enough testosterone in the body to get big, bulky muscles. It's not going to happen. So even men have a difficult time even after lifting to build bulky muscles. A woman certainly isn't going to. So I think that's another huge misconception. And just like people who get into fitness, the pendulum swings a little too far where they feel like if they work out more and more, they're going to get in better and better shape, when that's not exactly the reality. Intensity in terms of what's going on in terms of that workout is very important and should be increased. But increasing the frequency of the workouts or increasing the duration, so turning an hour and doing 3 hours on the Stairmaster, or you're getting in there 6-7 days a week, it's actually counterproductive, counterintuitive to what you really want, which is better hormonal production and so forth, and to live a better quality of life ultimately.
So I also mentioned in your bio you had your 365 video series. Can you tell our audience just a little bit about that, like what inspired you to come up with it, and how you grew an audience so quickly with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I put out motivational videos on YouTube mainly to market our brand Muscle Prodigy and our product, our best-selling workout product, MP45. In that effort, essentially, people viewed them sort of as like these viral Nike commercials in a way, where I think one of them got over 10 million views, and several of them lots of millions of views, hundreds of thousands of, if not that. So I just realized that people were starving for this content in a way, just like motivation, inspiration, that kind of stuff. So that I think for my own personal growth, it was, I heard an inner voice essentially that was just saying, commit to something very powerful for yourself. And that was basically do a video every day for a year. And I didn't put it out there that I was going to do it every day for a year until I was a few months in. But that was sort of, it was always in the back of my mind that that's what I was going to do. And then just sort of stuck to it and preached something different about mindset, about success, or what my thoughts or views on the world were, and grew definitely a loyal following and been grateful for that.
Awesome. Now, you just talked about the fact that frequency and duration is not the most important aspect of a workout regimen. So do you believe that there's like one right workout or one right type of workout for everyone, or is it a much more individual approach?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this. So I think that there's two components to working out, essentially, which is building muscle and burning fat. And a lot of people want to tone muscle, for instance, but there's no such thing as toned muscle, essentially. You either have muscle or you don't, and you either reveal it or you don't, meaning it's covered by body fat, or you can reduce that body fat. So there is a scientific method where basically most 80%, the 80-20 rule goes back to, 80% of what's going on is going to be basically the same for everybody in a way. And then the 20% is sort of customization in essence. So the MP45 program was really about, understanding that concept in a way that we wanted to take. What are the biggest issues that most people face when it comes to training and nutrition? How do we fix those? And then how do we give the right strategy? And that does come with basically the same root principles of this is how to build muscle. Here's how to burn fat. Here's an actual step-by-step plan to how to do it. And mainly the customization is going to come from the amount of weight you're lifting. For instance, that's got to vary based on your strength and your weight and all that stuff and whether you're male or female. And nutrition, where if you're looking to bulk or you're looking to burn fat, for instance, then you obviously have to intake different amounts of calories, for instance, or in different types of foods that are going to be more conducive to that. But most of the stuff is pretty much the same in terms of what to do on a daily basis. The true and tried principles: eat frequently every few hours, stoke the fire, let it keep going, that metabolic fire, that analogy that Tom Venuto sort of put out there, and work intensely. In terms of, again, not so much in terms of frequency or duration, but in terms of what you're actually doing when you show up to the gym. And that should be no more than you can get great workout in 20 minutes, half an hour, but an hour is really the top limit of what you should be doing. You could either, it's an old quote, you could either work out intense or you could work out long, but you can't do both. And usually intensity is what produces a better surefire result.
So going back to women, and I'm an instructor, and I have a hard time getting my classes on women. I say, you know, grab two sets of weights, and they grab like threes and fives. Fives if I'm lucky. You know, some of them just grabs the twos and threes. So, you know, I try to get them to grab the heavier weights. Like, what are some exercises you think women should be using with heavier weights?
I mean, I think you have to be careful with the heavy weights. Like, you don't want to... You're going to increase the likelihood of injury if you're doing like one rep maxes and stuff like this that you see in CrossFit communities and so forth.
Right.
And I love CrossFit, but certain things and certain coaches and whatnot, like anything else, you know, you get some bad apples in there that aren't going to teach great stuff. So you want to protect yourself first and foremost, because fitness is very much a marathon, not a sprint. Getting in shape, you want to stay in shape for a long period of time, so you don't want to just do things that'll compromise yourself in a way. But definitely compound movements are important to do for women, so things like lunges are going to be good. You don't necessarily have to do squats with the bar on your back, but holding dumbbells and doing squats or deadlifts that way can help. Other exercises, you could do machine work, but free weights, compound exercises are going to activate more of your stabilizer muscles and actually require more energy in order to move the movement from point A to point B, because it's not a guided range of motion. You have to actually guide it there.
All right. Now, I want to talk about building muscle, because while, you know, I do know that there are a lot of women out there who get really nervous about being, you know, about getting bulky. Actually, a lot of our readers really do want to build as much muscle as they can. What are a few tips that you would offer for someone who, like, that is their primary goal?
Yeah, so if you're looking to gain muscle but not overly gain muscle, is that it, basically?
Yeah, I think so. Because basically, we had a post go up recently by someone, and it just went gangbusters. And it was really just like, how to build muscle. And it turned out that our readers were like, yes, I would like to build muscle. So I guess that, yeah. And our readership is primarily female. So maybe we've got a little bit of a shift occurring. I think that what we want to kind of target is not necessarily people who are like looking to become fitness models or bodybuilders, but your average person who, you know, is not so worried about bulking up and wants to get strong, and they want to get lean. So if you want to go, I don't know,
yeah, absolutely,
whatever for that, or just the advice that you would offer someone walking up to you or hiring you and saying, what do I do?
Absolutely. So in terms of training, again, back to what I was saying, that most training is going to remain consistent for everybody, that 80-20 rule in a way. And that means bringing the muscle to failure, because then it's going to produce a stimulus for the muscle to want to grow, because there has to be something usually occurring within the body to make it want to grow. When you think about it, survival for our bodies is what we're sort of made for in a way. Packing on muscle is sort of counterintuitive to that in reality, because it requires more energy, more calories input in order to sustain that muscle mass. So you got to produce a response for the body to know, hey, we actually need this as part of our survival. It doesn't know what how much weight you're lifting or what exercise you're doing. All the muscle experience is a stress. So you want to tap into this concept of bringing your muscle to failure. And that means really like grunting and pushing yourself through a set so that you can't do it anymore, you know. And that's where there's really an explosion that takes place. You know, there's a famous quote that says that you could tap a stick of dynamite with a pencil all day long and nothing's going to happen. One shot with a hammer, boom. And that's sort of how the muscle actually works. So you have to do something really intense in a short period of time where you're actually bringing that muscle to failure. But you also need to activate what I've noticed throughout my studies is you activate the central nervous system. Now there's a need for a systemic release of hormones for the body to grow. We often think that muscular growth is systemic, is local, I'm sorry, where it's just one particular muscle that you're working. Let's say it's your arms, you're doing curls, and you feel that burn there. But muscle growth and burning fat is much more a systemic process, meaning that when you do squats, for instance, you are getting better abs because your core has to maintain that whatnot, but then also it got to recruit energy from your body in order to repair your legs. So it only makes sense that it's systemic, but hormones are also at play. This is why the whole calories in, calories out thing is should be debunked in a way, because if I eat 3,000 calories of Sour Patch Kids, my body is not going to react the same than if I eat 3,000 calories of clean food, you know, where it's eggs and grilled chicken and sweet potatoes, right? So there's hormones at play. That's the main reason. So you want to activate those good hormones. And women are estrogen dominant, so they don't really need to fear getting these huge bulky muscles if they lift weights and they go to failure and so forth. There's a best version of what you want to look like, and everybody's got a different body makeup. You know, some people have naturally a bigger build as a woman, whether it's, you know, a Venus Williams, Serena Williams type, you know. But if the main thing you want to stay away from is any kind of supplements or drugs that could shift that balance, that could block estrogen and increase testosterone, and now you're doing something unnatural that your body wasn't really meant to do. So you want to be very careful of that. And nutrition is huge, you know. So if you are looking to pack on muscle, there's a couple of times a day where you could really take advantage of eating a lot without putting on a lot of fat, and that is first thing in the morning, and that's right after your workouts, and typically before. But if you're doing cardio, it should be a little different nutrition than if you're doing weight training. And I walk people through that in detail in our MP45 program.
So a lot of our readers are time crunched. You know, they would love to be able to work out an hour and a half every day, but who has time for that? You know, I know some people make the time.
Absolutely.
So if you're time crunched, what's your best advice for maximizing your workout? If you only have 20 minutes at the gym and that's it, or at home, you know, what's your best advice for making the most of that?
Absolutely. And I'm time crunched myself. Anybody who's focused on their career does not have usually an hour and a half to work out every single day. It's just, and it's especially if you have a family and kids and everybody, everything that you got to tend to. It's just not practical, not realistic. But you can get amazing workouts in 20 minutes or less, like you're talking about. Again, it's going to fall back on intensity. I would invite you to look into Tabata training, TABATA, which is basically the whole concept is that interval training, why it works so well is it has an afterburner effect. So you're not just burning calories while you're doing the exercise, but you've increased your metabolic rate so much so that it requires energy to get you back to normal on a metabolic level. Your body needs to reset in essence, and that takes a lot of energy. And that's mainly disrupting your breathing patterns when you do that. You do this by forcing yourself to do something called anaerobic work, which is without oxygen. So if you could do interval training, and you could do this by you jog a couple of mailboxes and then you sprint a couple of mailboxes in your community, or jog and then sprint, you do that for 4 minutes where you're doing like 20 seconds sprint, 20 second jog, you're not even going to be able to stand up and breathe properly. And they've done studies that it's more effective in terms of increasing your VO2 max and the overall calorie burn during the day than oftentimes of doing like a steady state cardio workout for an hour. Right. So if you could really ramp up your intensity within that workout, it's going to help. And then obviously you do want to do weights, because that's going to increase your muscle mass, muscle to fat ratio, which ultimately requires more energy to burn. So it's going to require more fat burning on your end. You should hit probably one body part per week and bring it to failure in essence. So that means your biceps, your triceps, your chest, your back, your core, your and when I say core, it means abs and lower back. Everything's got to be taken into account there, so you correct the muscular imbalances that often take place. And your legs, your quads, your hamstrings, your calves. So warm up a little bit, and then it should just be about going to bring your body to failure. And then you could do all kinds of supersets and circuit sets so that you don't take a rest during that 20 minutes. You're going to do more work than somebody, than a typical person who's in the gym for 90 minutes.
Yeah. So do you have, either with the Tabata or with some of the compound moves that you were talking about earlier, do you have one that's just like your favorite go-to, like when you don't want to have to think about it, that's the thing that you do? Or maybe one that people don't necessarily know much about and should be doing a lot more that you'd like to share?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that sprinting is the best workout. And I notice that my body changes the quickest off of sprinting. So literally go to a track, go to a field and do 100-yard sprints, 200-yard sprints, 40-yard sprints. So do it as fast as you can. Recover your breath a little bit and then do it again. And, you know, if you age takes a toll on us. So if running is very hard on you, for instance, you could do this in the pool. You could do this swimming where you sprint one lap and then you slowly freestyle back the next one and then you sprint again. And you could do stuff like that. Or the bike, that very low impact where you ramp up the intensity with the hills, for instance, on the bike, and you just go all out and you sprint. And you could do something like 15 second sprint and 15 seconds rest, 30 second sprint, 30 second rest, 45 second sprint, 45 second rest, minute sprint, minute rest. And that's a hell of a workout, you know, if you do stuff like that. But I notice my body changes the fastest when I do stuff like that.
Good to know. I'm headed to the track in like hour and a half from now. So this will give me some extra motivation to kick it into
Perfect.
Gear.
Perfect.
So is there a sport or physical challenge that you're eager to try out? And what is it?
Ooh, another sport. I was a wrestler for most of my life. And that taught me so much about life in general and just discipline and work ethic and so forth. Now at this stage, I've been playing a lot of basketball lately. I've just been taking a liking to it. And then other than that, yeah, I'm always very active. Nothing really particular. I'm trying to get better at basketball. I think that would be it. And golf is a challenging game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What's your favorite either pre or post workout snack, or both if you're feeling fancy?
Awesome. So if you're looking to bulk, my favorite when I'm bulking is like a big sandwich an hour before, and then go lift weights or whatnot, and then right after, I sort of view it as a free meal in a way. First, you want to have probably a protein shake, something that could get into the muscles really fast, but something very a high quality protein. And I recommend like grass fed whey or whatnot, or beef, for instance. And then like an hour later is sort of like my free meal, where I love like good pasta or pizza or something like that.
So what are the nutritional mistakes you see people commonly make?
Yeah, the common nutritional mistakes, I've gone through many of them, which is basically cutting out all your carbs and thinking that that's going to produce a great result. Cutting out all fat, for instance. Deprivation is never the answer. So you want to zig most of the time, but then zag, which means that you enjoy life, you know, that it's not just about growth, it's about enjoying it too. And it's counterproductive in a way, because your body actually reacts negatively to that. So it downshifts your thyroid production if you're dieting for too long. So I think that's mainly the mistakes that they make. And obviously people on the other end of the spectrum who have a really hard time dieting just feel like they could eat whatever. I would suggest, you know, it's very hard to tell them or to discipline themselves. Eat, you know, swap out that and eat oatmeal, or swap that out and eat fish. It's tough to make those kinds of everyday choices in a way for a lot of people. But listen to your body. There could be a day where you could really enjoy yourself or whatnot. But if the next day, if it's just you're reaching for it out of habit, but you don't really feel good doing it, just listen to your body. Sometimes it'll tell you, cut back on this, eat something healthy, eat vegetables or whatnot. And then there will be other times where it's like you're eating well for a long period of time, but you're craving something. okay, listen to your body a little bit more, and maybe it needs more calories and so forth. So then you can have that ice cream and enjoy a little bit. But you wouldn't feel good eating ice cream, you know, four times a day every single day, right? Your body would have a natural adverse reaction to that. So it's like it's telling you where to go, essentially, is my philosophy.
Oh, that's great. We do a lot with just the idea of intuitive eating and really tuning into your hungerfulness scale and cues. And I think I'm hoping that that's becoming more of a movement within this realm of health and fitness, because your body will tell you what it needs and it'll tell you what it really doesn't need eventually.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, this has been great. And we have one question that we love to ask all of our guests at the end of the interview. And that is, what is the last song you listened to before you joined us for this interview?
Wow, the last song.
Hardest question of the day.
I know.
the last one I listened to. I listened to the Despacito remix with Justin Bieber. That's an awesome one.
We gave so much Justin Bieber on here. It's amazing. I love it.
It's stuck in my head. That's a great one.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was very educational, and you're a fantastic guest.
Thank you so much, guys. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Awesome questions, and anytime, all right? If there's anything I can do for you, let me know.
Love this show? Tell us why in a 5-star review on iTunes, and we'll read it on the air. Also, make sure you are a subscriber. If you want to reach out to say hi or have a question about a recent episode, yay, well, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if this podcast jives perfectly with your brand, consider sponsoring the show. Get more info by emailing advertising@fitbottomgirls.com. Find all kinds of Fit Bottom goodness online and on social media at Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Mamas, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Zen. And if books and movies are your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thanks for listening.